Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your servant in the Lord, your brother in Christ, your dogmatic reformer, radio reformer, am in studio to present to you proposition number 53. And again, we just keep hammering these, keep hammering away. With no counter response from the Joint College of African American Bishops. Well, that's their loss, because what the world is getting to understand is that this organization is hollow in its claims. It makes hollow claims. Mr. Ellis talks about joining the Scarlet Robes. Joining the Scarlet Robes. What Scarlet Robes? I love the way he says it. He goes, "You, when you join us, you join the Scarlet Robes." Well, they have no scholars. I doubt very much that they have legitimate doctorates. Now, again, that's what they claim. I went to the website, and Mr. Ellis claims to have two doctorates. But you can't tell by the little book he wrote, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African-American Church. And by the way, based on his own words in this little tiny book, he claims that other people helped him write it. Now, did you write it? I mean, why is your name on the bottom? Why not have the names of the five or six people that helped you write it? Because it's an incoherent read. In my opinion, the book is gibberish. Full gibberish. Well, let them make the claims that they want to. The fact that they don't call in the broadcast just tells you and I that their claims are not legitimate. The number here for Mr. Ellis and his staff to call, and I'll take them all on at the same time. 6 or 7, even in fact, 10 people can call in at the same time. I can all put them on the air simultaneously. So if they want to gang up on me, if they want to do a tag team event, if they want to do a Royal Rumble, if they want to do a free for all, call in, Mr. Ellis. Get 9 of your top lieutenants and yourself. That'll make 10, and I'll take you all on at the same time. The number here is 646-564-9730, 646-9730, 646-564-9730. The song you heard there in the beginning was a nice little song called Come Out of Her, My People. The song is Babylon. So I'm introducing you to the song. Let me play the rest of it before we get into today's proposition. Now, Babylon, the Babylon of Revelation 17 is a Roman Catholic church. That's the Babylon of Revelation 17. And in Revelation 18, she's about to be judged. In fact, Revelation 17, John is invited by an angel in Revelation 17 to see the whore that's about to be judged. That's how we're introduced to her. That's how we're introduced to the harlot church. She's about to be judged. As the harlot church comes on the scene, the angel says to John, come and behold the woman that is about to be judged. And the woman is the Roman Catholic Church. And by chapter 18, verse 4, God is saying to his people, come out of her. That's the verse that this song is based on, Revelation 18, verse 4. And Revelation 18, verse 8 says, come out of her, my people. For the Lord God who judges her is mighty, is mighty.
So come out of her, my people, for the time is come, for the time is come, to judge
Yes, that is the divine admonition. The divine admonition is come out of her, and we're not going to listen to the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops who want to take the African American Church deeper into the harlot church. No, we don't want to go deeper. We want to come out, because strong is the Lord God who will judge her. Now. Proposition number 53. Let's go to proposition number 53. In fact, let me read to you 52, because 52 leads into 53. So proposition 52 read like this. The purchasing of vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office proves that from its inception, the Joint College of African American Bishops was under the spiritual authority of pagan papal anti-Christian Rome. Now, that proposition was based on Mr. Ellis's statement in his book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church. And more specifically, it's based on chapter one. The title of the chapter is In the Beginning, the Need. And I'm reading to you from page 17. Mr. Ellis writes, "One late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office." So that's where I get Proposition 52. So we already know what vestments are. Vestments are Roman Catholic queer wear, Roman Catholic faggot wear, Roman Catholic effeminate wear. That's what that is. That's what vestments are. Now, some of you are asking, what's insignia? What's insignia? Because vestments is in plural, but insignia is singular. So what is pontifical insignia? Well, to be more specific, reading to you from the Catholic Dictionary of the Liturgy, because you're not going to find this in an evangelical dictionary. You're just not going to find it. We don't dress in faggot wear, in queer wear. We don't put on plumes. No, we don't have emblems and feminine accessories. No, we don't. So on page 268 of the Catholic Dictionary of the Liturgy, it states, "The vestments and emblems worn by prelates when they officiate at a liturgical ceremony." That's what insignia is. Insignia is the vestments and emblems worn by the prelates when they officiate at the liturgical ceremony. Now, what are some examples of insignia? What are some of the insignia of the bishops? Well, according to Pope Paul VI, who created the last official list of insignia. Now, remember, it was Pope Paul, Roman Catholic Pope Paul VI, who did the last list, the official list of what is insignia. Well, for a bishop, an insignia would be a mitre, the hat, you know, the hat that they, the little funny pointy hat that they wear. That would be insignia. Gloves would also be insignia. The ring, the episcopal ring, would also be insignia. The pectoral cross would also be insignia. The crozier would also be insignia. The pallium would also be insignia. And the list goes on and on and on. I mean, I'm just reading to you a little short list there. So, as you can see, the first one on this list is what? The mitre. Now, that leads us to Proposition 53. Because in Proposition 53, we read, "The purchasing of an insignia, such as the Romish-styled mitre, proves that those donning it," because you have to wear it on your head, have to put it on, "that those donning it have been spiritually influenced by pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome." The purchasing of an insignia, when you go to one of these stores where they sell Roman Catholic faggot wear and Roman Catholic queer accessories, when you go to get your little gloves and you go to get your little Episcopal ring and you go get your slippers, because that's all part of insignia. It's all part of insignia. And what does insignia do? Well, if you're an archbishop, there's insignia for archbishops. There's insignia for the pope. There's insignia for the cardinals. There's certain accessories and things that cardinals wear, popes wear, bishops wear, archbishops wear that speaks to their rank. And if you're a bishop, you cannot wear archbishop type insignia because that's not your rank. So each one of these levels has a certain kind of insignia or accessories that tips people off that this is your rank. Again, it goes back to that Episcopal Tower of Babel. So now, the purchasing of an insignia, when you go to one of these Roman Catholic / Anglican / Pentecostal crazy stores to get your insignia where, I mean, when you look at the Joint College of Bishops, they are dressed to the hilt. They're in full compliance. They're in full uniform compliance. Well, and Mr. Ellis goes through this book and he explains, okay, what you can wear, what you can't wear if you're in this rank and if you're in that rank, okay. So now, when you go down to one of these stores and you go purchase that pointy little hat that looks like a fish mouth, and if you look there at the slide presentation that I give you a number of examples of some of the popes and some of the bishops wearing that funny hat. It's called the mitre. That's a Romish-style mitre. That's a pagan, papal-style mitre. And this is what the bishops in the black church are wearing. This is the kind of mitre, and I have pictures of some of the African-American bishops in the Joint College. I have their pictures in the slide presentation. You can see them. Along with what the Pope wears, and along what the pagan high priest of antiquity wore. So as you can see, it's the same style. So now, I argue that if you go to a store specifically to purchase that kind of a hat, the pointy little hat that has the fish mouth, and if you put that on, it just shows that you've been spiritually influenced by pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome. Now, why is that? Well, because according to Mr. Ellis, every archbishop and every bishop can wear a mitre. Every archbishop and every bishop can wear a mitre. Well, in the Old Testament, only the high priest wore a mitre. Now, the mitre that the high priest wore and the mitre that the Pope wears, the high priest of Israel never wore a fish hat. And the Philistines worshiped the fish god named Dagon. That's where that kind of hat comes from. Now, I'm not saying, like Mr. Alexander Hislop, who wrote the book Two Babylons, I'm not saying that the Roman Catholic Church copied the Babylonian and the Assyrians and the Philistines. I'm not saying that because there is no historical proof. There's no historical proof. There's no footnote or no endnote that we can cite that can tell you that there's a direct correlation between the style of hat that the Church of Rome wears and that there's a direct connection to the high priest of Assyria or the high priest of Babylon or the high priest of Phoenicia or the high priest of the Philistines. There's no historical link. But doesn't it seem funny that while there may be no historical link, as Mr. Alexander Hislop erroneously claims in his book The Two Babylons, and I don't have to agree with everything Mr. Hislop wrote because there he's wrong. He hasn't proven to me that there is a historical connection. He hasn't cited one historical source that can make that claim for him. It's all speculation on his part. He sees what the Babylonian high priest is wearing. Mr. Hislop has seen what the Assyrian high priest is wearing, what the Phoenician high priest is wearing, what the Philistine high priest is wearing. And then he looks at what the Roman Catholic Pope is wearing and the archbishops and bishops, and he said, aha, you see there's a direct connection. But no, he can't cite historically that Rome copied those nations. can't say that. I've read his entire book from cover to cover several times, and I checked his footnotes, and those footnotes do not say that, do not buttress his case. But I do find it funny. I do find it funny and kind of odd and kind of stupid that the Pope and the Cardinals and the Archbishops and the Bishops of Rome would wear those kinds of hats when they look just like those pagan hats of old. I wouldn't wear it. Let me read to you proposition number 53. And these are simple. These are I shouldn't even be doing this. These are simple. But on the one hand, I may argue I shouldn't even be doing this because everybody can tell it's just wrong. But on the other hand, I need to do it just to make the case. Proposition 53, the purchasing of an insignia such as Ramesh-style mitre proves that those donning it, who are those donning it? Well, Mr. Ellis has a mitre like that. I've seen him in action. Mr. Ellis's buddies, those who are in the higher echelon of the Joint College of African American Bishops, in fact, the African American bishops, the members of the Joint College, they all have mitres. Those donning it have been spiritually influenced by pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome. Because as you can see in the pictures, the Pope wears them. The Cardinals of Rome wears them. The Archbishops of Rome wear them. Why would you want to mimic those guys? In lieu of the fact, and let me read to you from Zechariah, from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 3, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And the prophet says, Zechariah does, and God showed me Joshua the high priest. Now in the days of Zechariah, in the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Haggai and Malachi, the high priest's name was Joshua. And Zechariah says, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that have chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this man, Zechariah, a brand plucked out of, Joshua, a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua the high priest was clothed in filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he, the angel, spake unto me, and unto those that stood by him, saying, take away the filthy garments from Joshua. And unto him he said, unto Joshua he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, and I, Zechariah the prophet, said, let them set a fair mitre, that's verse 5, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now, the type of mitre, if you look at a Bible dictionary, the type of mitre that the Jewish high priest wore, like Aaron, was a turban, was a piece of cloth wrapped around like a turban. That was a mitre. And that was worn by the high priest. All of the priests did not wear mitre, just the high priest. Just the high priest. So, as you can see, the mitre, the Jewish mitre, is completely different from the Roman Catholic mitre. So the question is, if we are Judeo-Christian in heritage, right, Mr. Ellis? Why is it that, okay, if you want to wear a mitre, why is it that you're not wearing a turban? I mean, if we are Judeo-Christian in heritage, and we love the Old Testament, and we embrace the Old Testament, and we understand that we need the Old Testament to shed light on the New Testament, and the New Testament has its foundation in the Old Testament. Okay, so now, why is it that we are adopting a Roman Catholic style mitre. I mean, if you want to wear a mitre, that's up to you. But don't you think, Mr. Ellis, don't you think, members of the Joint College of African American Bishops, that if you're going to wear a mitre, you should be wearing a biblically styled mitre? You should have a turban on your head rather than the type of hat worn by the high priest of the Philistines and the high priest of Phoenicia and the high priest of Assyria and Babylon. Don't you think that you should stay away from wearing the kind of hat that the Pope wears, because one of the titles of the Pope is Pontifex Maximus, pagan high priest? Don't you think? I would think so. I would think that I would stay far away from any kind of style clothing and any kind of hats and accessories that the pagan papal church of Rome wears and showcases. I would stay away, because I know that the high priest of Israel wore a mitre, but it's really a turban. It's a turban. It's not the kind of mitre being showcased by Roman Catholic clergy, and for that matter, the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops. But you see, the reason why they're wearing it, the reason why they're donning it, is because they have been spiritually influenced. Mr. Ellis has been spiritually influenced, because why else would he put in his book, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. Only Roman Catholics do that. Only Roman Catholics and Anglicans. And what's an Anglican? An Anglican is an English Roman Catholic. That's all an Anglican is. That's all a Roman Catholic is. That's all an Anglican is. An Anglican is a British-style Roman Catholic. So, who else talks about vestments other than the Roman Catholic / Anglican Church? Who else talks about and makes a big fuss and a big to-do and makes it mandatory about insignia? Only the Church of Rome does. Only the Anglican Church does. And now the Joint College of African American Bishops. Now again, when you look at Matthew chapter 10 and Mark 3 and let us not forget Luke chapter 6. In those chapters, Jesus commissions his apostles, of whom Mr. Ellis and the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops claim to succeed. But at their ordination, at their commissioning, Jesus did not give them vestments. In fact, he told them, don't worry about clothes. Now, at the elevation service of each bishop, they're putting a bunch of clothes on them. They're putting a bunch of clothes on these people. I mean, it's one garment after the other. It's such a tedious, boring elevation service. I mean, it's so boring. And Jesus didn't hand out one garment. In fact, Jesus said, don't worry about garments. Don't carry two coats. When you go to the Joint College every year, when you go to the annual convention, when you have to travel to Cleveland to be part of the annual conference, you're carrying suitcases full of clothes, because you have to constantly change and put on the monkey outfits. But Jesus told his disciples, "Don't worry about don't even carry two coats, no luggage." Now, my dear brothers and sisters, let me read to you. I gave you a scripture out of Zechariah 3. Now, let me read to you from the dictionary, Catholic Dictionary of the Liturgy, on page 435. Let me read to you what is a mitre. A mitre, is called the liturgical headdress worn by cardinals, bishops, and abbots. That's what a mitre is. the liturgical headdress worn by cardinals, bishops, and abbots. It goes on to say, two forms exist. The precious mitre, richly adorned with jewels and made of silver or of gold plate, and the plain mitre of white linen or silk. So, you have two kinds of mitres. One mitre you wear, which is the white mitre, that's what you use when you want to masquerade as a wolf in sheep's clothing. You wear the white linen or the white silk mitre. It's plain. It's a plain mitre. But that's the one that you use when you want to deceive people, like the false prophet of Revelation 13, who looked like a lamb, says John, but who spake as a dragon. See, that's the mitre that you wear. That's the mitre that you wear when you're masquerading as a wolf in sheep's clothing. But then there's another mitre, the one that is, it's called the precious mitre, richly adorned with jewels, with jewels. So let me read to you out of Revelation. Let me read to you out of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. This is a description of the harlot church. In Revelation 17:4, it says, and the woman speaking, that's the harlot church, was arrayed in purple and in scarlet, and those are the two favorite colors of Mr. Ellis. Mr. Ellis just loves to put on his newly enthroned, his newly elevated bishops, he just loves to put on them the Roman purple cassock. And he also likes to put on them the prophet's garment, which is scarlet. Well, it says here, and the woman was arrayed in purple and in scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Well, when you wear the mitre, when you wear the precious mitre, it's richly adorned with jewels and made of silver and gold plate. Wow. That should tell you something. That should speak to you. All right, out of the Maronall Catholic Dictionary, and these are one volume dictionary, and I'm not even bringing out the big guns. I'm not even going to my two Catholic encyclopedias. No. I'm not even going there. I'm waiting to bring that out for the debates, because Mr. Ellis is going to debate me one day. And so here is from the Maronall Catholic Dictionary on page 481. It says, the liturgical headdress of bishops and abbots of the Latin rite. It is made of linen, cloth of gold or silk, and is often ornamented. It is often ornamented. In other words, it's got a bunch of junk on it, jewels, a bunch of junk. All right, out of the Catholic Dictionary by Atwater, the third edition, put out in 1958 by Macmillan Press, a mitre comes from the Greek mitra, a turban, but it's not a turban. It's not a turban. It's not a turban. It says, the liturgical headdress proper of the bishops of the Latin Rite. It originated as a low, soft cap, and has evolved through numerous forms into a high, stiff hat consisting of two similar parts, back and front, with bulging sides which curve back to the top. The sides are joined with a headband at the bottom and have soft material between, enabling them to be folded together. Two fringed lappets hang down behind. Now, of course, the Joint College claims that one of the lappet is the Old Testament and the other lappet is the New Testament, but no, they're not conning us with that one. It goes on to say, in the consecration of a bishop, the mitre is considered symbolically as the helmet of salvation. Well, no, That can't be the a pagan hat. A pagan hat. A pagan headdress that underscores my rank is not the helmet of salvation, because there is no rank. In Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, rich or poor, male or female, bond or free. No, in Christ we're all the same. No, it cannot be. It cannot be. It cannot symbolically represent the helmet of salvation. No, it's the helmet of confusion. It's not the helmet of salvation. Now, here is Mr. Ellis. Here is Mr. Ellis telling us that he and his organization have this whole thing about all insignia investments, how they have this, they have it together. Let's listen.
Says we
got that all covered. The church has been leavened. It's been perverted. It's been corrupted. We got that together. Let's move on to phase two of indoctrination. My brothers and sisters, again, I appeal to Mr. Ellis. The phone number here is 646-564-9730. And Mr. Ellis, this is the proposition. The purchasing of an insignia such as a Roman styled mitre proves that those donning it have been spiritually influenced by pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome. What do you have to say to that, Mr. Ellis? What do you have to say to that? The style of your mitre is pagan. The style of your mitre is papal. The style of the mitre that you wear is anti-Christian because it promotes rank. And Jesus was against hierarchy. And all of the insignia that you guys go and purchase, that you guys go and sell, that you guys put on, all of that speaks of rank. All of that speaks to the fact that you're operating an Episcopal Tower of Babel. But you didn't get this from the Word. You didn't get this from the Bible. You didn't get this from Christ and the apostles, although you claim to be their direct successors. But you don't follow them. You don't follow the apostles' advice. You don't shun hierarchy. You embrace it. You promote it. So, Mr. Ellis, what is your response? The hat that you wear, the hat that you don, the hat that you showcase on your head, which you claim is the helmet, symbolically represents the helmet of salvation, is a papal, pagan, anti-Christian hat, which has been donned by other pagan religions and apostates. Why would you wear something that was worn in the Bible by those God rejected and doomed? Why would you dress like the priest of Babylon? Why would you dress like the priest of Philistia? Why would you dress like the priest of Assyria and Phoenicia? Why would you dress like them? Why not dress like the high priest of Israel? Why not have a turban wrapped around your head? Why not put on a turban? If you want to don a mitre, be more biblical. And Christ never told his apostles to wear a mitre. None of the apostles were wearing mitres as they proceeded into the upper room. None of the apostles were wearing mitres and vestments when they met for the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. None of them were wearing mitres on the day of Pentecost or vestments. All of this, all of the purchasing of vestments and insignia is pagan. And Mr. Ellis, you and your group of bishops have been spiritually influenced by pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome, the very group God tells us to come out of. Well, my brothers and sisters, Mr. Ellis won't call between his legs. He won't call. So that'll do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow with proposition number. I'll be back with proposition number 54 tomorrow. And we're just gonna keep presenting these propositions and let these men run with their tails tucked between their legs. We're gonna do right by God, and we're gonna do right by God's people. Love you in Jesus. God bless.